Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 3rd of April 2022. Hello and welcome, thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, Paul's continuing our series looking at the road to the cross with how Jesus is anointed with joy. The reading is Hebrews chapter 1, verses 6 to 9. So go and join Paul as he's introducing the service.
It's lovely to welcome you and lovely to be with you in worship of our Holy Lord this morning. And whether this is your 100th or 1,000th or 10,000th time at NBC, or whether this is the first time you've ever been here, you're really welcome and have a warm welcome among family and church friends this morning. It's lovely to be here. It's lovely to worship with you. And for those of you that don't know, to let you know, after the service, we share a time of fellowship over coffee. It's proper coffee, because I'm a coffee fan. So coffee and tea in the hall after the service. The notices for the week have either been given to you electronically or as per the printed sheet that you will have had when you came in. But there are a couple of additional notices, and they're just to remind everyone. There's a pastoral care meeting this Thursday at 2 o'clock. That's for anyone that wants to be involved in pastoral care here. As we've come out of lockdown, we have a need to reimagine how we deliver pastoral care for each other. So please come along if you've a heart to be involved in that. Secondly, there is a need for us to have some folk that are going to join with the leadership of the church in being part of our welcome team. That is to say hello to people when they get to the door, to show them to their seat, to find out who they are and lots about them. To be their kind of friend for the day as they come to NBC. If you'd like to be part of that welcome team, can you see Pat? Hi, Pat. Hello, Pat. Can you see Pat? It would be lovely to sort of have some new folk in that team and to look after each other. And then just to say, it's always good, isn't it, when we can share some family news. So congratulations, Edward. I know your birthday was last Monday, but congratulations on a birthday. And congratulations, Sam, whose birthday is this Tuesday. So in my best unpitched, unrehearsed voice, here we go. Can you sing happy birthday to Edward and Sam? And you can put them in the other order. It doesn't matter. They'll fit neatly either way. To the both of you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday dear Edward and Sam, happy birthday to you. Well done, congratulations. I won't ask how old you are, should never ask someone how old they are, but I'm going to take a guess that you're under 40, is that okay? Friends, it's good when we gather together and we praise and we worship. And this week it was mine and Richard's pleasure, which is not an underestimate of the word, to be involved in celebrating Elaine, her life and all she meant, and the glorious fact that she knew Jesus as her Lord and Saviour. We're going to think this morning about Jesus anointed with joy, but I can think of no better start to the service than to use the psalm that we used on Thursday. Psalm 100, an amazing psalm that speaks of our unbounding joy. And once we've had the psalm, Roy and the group are going to lead us in some worship. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. I want to invite you this morning not to sing quietly in a whisper to the Lord, but to shout for joy to the Lord. Roy.
Amen. Amen. It's good to start service with prayer, but it's also good to start with praise. So we're going to combine the two as we sing, hear our prayer.
Mm-hmm. Good morning, everyone. Are you all right? Are you sure? Are you positive? It's good to see you. Okay. Just a little reminder about the Smarty Tubes. Remember, we're raising money for a defib. Okay, at the moment, the money came in as Smarty Tubes last week. If you've still got any more Smarty Tubes, bring them back. All right? But at the moment, we have raised £582. And about £390 of that was from the Smarty Tubes. So well done, everyone. Keep going. I think we need about 850 or something, so we're nearly there. Come on, keep going. And then I'll be able to have a defib, which I might need soon. That'll be all right. Right, here we go this morning. Who's happy? Great. What makes you happy? Shout me out. Go on. The sunshine. Anything else? Pardon? Lost it? Family. Well done, John. Good answer. All right. Good answer. All right. Anything else? Go on. Your iPad. Yeah. Your mum likes that as well. It's all right. Anything else?
Holidays.
Holidays. Oh, I like holidays. Up the back. Go on. Church. Oh, isn't that lovely? I think he goes to another one. Church, that's lovely. Yes, Jamie. Food. Yes. Right? Yes.
My laptop.
Your laptop. Anything else?
Friendship.
Yeah, all those things. Dogs. Yeah, dogs.
Jesus.
All right, Jesus is always the answer. Don't forget that. Okay.
Bright and winning.
Oh. Doesn't happen often, does it? Yeah. Okay, then. I've got to turn it round a bit now, then. What makes you sad? Go on. Getting shouted at all the time. Yeah. Makes you sad. All right. Yeah. Not being able to go on your laptop. Yeah. Anything? Pardon? Do you know what? I was thinking exactly the same. The electric bill, right? Have you looked at your smart meter rate recently? Right? I can see it going round now. It's quite heartbreaking. Right? Anything else make you sad, Jamie? When your friend is... Okay, well, I can explain all that to you. When the friend spends the whole break time going to the toilet, okay? And we won't go into any more depth of why the friend's in the toilet, but that makes sense. I go for that. Anything else? Go on, Simon. Rainy days when you can't go out, you just need a coat. All right? Just get a decent coat. It's all right. All right? Anything else? Go on.
Not going on holiday.
Not going on holiday, yeah. No one said church yet. Well done. All right. That's good. All right. Go on, one more. Not being able to go on your iPad. It's quite simple, really. Happy and sad. When something good happens to us, we feel happy. When something bad happens to us, we feel sad. We always do. When something bad happens, we have a gloomy face. When something happy happens, we've got a smiley face. And I'm trying to see if I can see any smiley faces at the moment. There's a few. That's good. Do you think Jesus wants you to be happy?
Yes.
He does. He does want you to be happy. If you listen to what Jesus says in the Bible, it says this: I've loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Does that mean that nothing bad is ever going to happen to us if we've got Jesus? No, because things do still happen that make us sad. Things do still happen that might be bad and against us. But you know what's really, really good? Is that even when we're sad, We still have the joy in our hearts because we know that Jesus loves us. It's that simple. Jesus wants to fill us with his love, joy, and peace. So even if we're feeling sad, we can still have joy in our hearts. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that good things will happen to all of us. I pray that we will be happy. I pray that Brighton might win one day. But Lord, when things do happen that make us sad, Lord, I pray that you will stay in our hearts and fill us with your joy, and that we will stay close to you and be filled with that joy. And we'll have understanding and love and joy and peace so that we can spread your word to the friends around us. Amen. We're having another song, Roy.
Yep, one more song before the before Young Church leave us. Following on that from Mark, it's the next song. It says, "You give and you take away," so it's blessings. Yeah, let's stand and sing "Blessed Be Your Name," and we'll just so the stewards know, we're going to take up our offering this morning for the work of the church.
It will never, ever, ever grow old when we have an amazing sense of our young people going to their own worship and half the church leaves. It will always be a pleasure and a bounteous one at that. So I'm going to encourage you, before we pray for the world, we think of Ukraine. Don't forget to keep praying for our young people. If you say you want the church to grow, you say you want the church to survive, and you don't put it into practice by praying for our youth, you're not really wanting the church to survive and grow. And if that sounds like a real challenge, then praise be, it's a challenge. Friends, we do come before our amazing Lord in our prayers. As many of you know, I'm privileged to be able to spend time from time to time with one of my brothers who's pastoring in Ukraine. And so we're going to use some of his prayer requests. But interestingly, this week when there was an online chat, one of the things he said was that the church in Ukraine is becoming convinced more than ever before that it's God's supernatural power by the Holy Spirit that will break through and have the day. That they're becoming convinced more and more and more by what daily happens through their struggles and their strife, even when the pastor's got no food in his cupboard and he's handing out all he has to others, that it's God by his power that will break through. And then on the call, I was reminded that Ukraine is only one conflict around many around the world. So I want to use some of the prayer points he's asked us to pray for, and pray that not just this prayer is not just for Ukraine, but for everywhere where humans, well, for their own reasons and their own greed, are sort of got arms against each other. Friends, I invite you to pray with me. Not just for Ukraine, but for areas of the world like the Tigray part of Ethiopia. But the 17-month civil war, there's currently talk of a truce which will allow food into that part of Ethiopia for the first time in 17 months. May God's power break through. And may we keep praying until God's power breaks through. And that's where we're going to start. Because his first request in prayer is that we don't stop. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that we are able to have this sort of sense of direct prayer coming from Ukraine. But Lord, it not only reminds us of the Ukraine, but as my brother pastor reminded that group this week, it's about what's happening throughout the world. And we Christians should never stop praying until this world is your world once again. that this world, Lord, is transformed by the power and the grace and the majesty and the might of the Holy Spirit into the world you always envisaged it should be. We pray that God would give the church in Ukraine, in Tigray, throughout the world where there is conflict, his supernatural power. Because the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit is bigger than what any pastor in Ukraine or any of his brothers and sisters can envisage on their own, and does more than anything they could imagine on their own. And we pray that blessing of supernatural power across the world. Friends, in this moment, in your heart, not just Ukraine, but name in your heart some of those areas of the world where there is conflict. And Lord, I bring for you personally Tigray and Somalia. What seem irresolvable problems and issues, yet by the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, there can be peace. Friends, name them before your Lord in your heart. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, for those trapped in churches in occupied cities, that even as they are surrounded by their enemies, God's love would overpower all conflict. We thank you for those examples that are ours to read about, where Christians have gone up to the so-called Russian invaders and have offered them food and drink, and been able to witness to you, to those Russians. We pray that God would surround those trapped in churches with Christian love and care, and that they would surround their enemies with Christian love and care, and that the wave of the Holy Spirit power would break through, and against which not even President Putin, in all his so-called might, would have any answer. We pray that peace will reign in Ukraine for those still fleeing. We pray for their safe passage and for welcoming arms and hot food. And we pray for the churches throughout the world in areas of conflict and areas where there is persecution, that they will be able to minister to all, speak of your love to all. And pray, Lord, that church leaders and pastors everywhere will not only know the guidance and wisdom of the Holy Spirit themselves, but will know how, with the power and the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, to lead and guide others. Lord, the world has many problems, but this week, even as I pondered, I declared and will declare again in front of my brothers and sisters in Christ, that despite all the world's problems, you are the world's solution. So take our prayers, simple though they may be, and be glorified, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing a song of response, worship some more, before Richard comes and leads us in communion. O Lord, the clouds are gathering.
Just to say that when we were running through this song yesterday, Margaret, who's on keyboards behind me, shared something, so I've asked her to share it with you before we sing it.
Brian, if I could have the pictures up on the wall, please. Yeah, when we were singing this song yesterday, we sang some words, which I'll say to you in a moment, and this image that I'd seen in the week just leapt to my mind because the song just tied in with it so powerfully. The pictures you see on the wall are of Mariupol, a Baptist church in Mariupol. It's Bethany Baptist Church. And this picture appeared on my computer this week. And it was the European Baptist Federation that shared the picture. And these are the words that they shared. Bethany Baptist Church, known in peacetime for its active social and evangelical ministry, now bears the scars of bombardment. Though charred, the cross remains. And so does the resolve of Ukrainian Baptists who remain faithful to the service of God and their fellow Ukrainians even while war rages. And this is what we're about to sing as we continue in our prayers. Yet, O Lord, your glorious cross shall tower triumphant in this land, evil confounding. Through the fire, your suffering church display the glories of her Christ, praises resounding. And Lord, we pray for your protection on the congregation of Bethany Baptist Church. And we pray with joy, Lord, that their ministry continues today.
Let's stand and sing.
Yes, there we go. Cool, definitely on now. But we come to a time of communion. We read in John chapter 6, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So come to this table, not because you must, but because you may. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and would like to love him more. Come because he loved you and gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. Shall we pray? Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. So the Apostle Paul tells us of the institution of the Lord's Supper. And he writes, for I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Shall we give thanks for this gift of bread and wine? Loving God, we praise and thank you for your love shown to us in Jesus Christ. We thank you for his life and ministry, announcing the good news of your kingdom and demonstrating its power in the lifting of the downtrodden and the healing of the sick and the loving of the loveless. We thank you for his sacrificial death upon the cross, for the redemption of the world, and for your raising him to life again as a foretaste of the glory we shall share. We give you thanks for this bread and wine, symbols of our world and signs of your transforming love. Send your Holy Spirit, we pray, that we may be renewed into the likeness of Jesus Christ and formed into his body. This we pray in his name and for his sake. Amen. So Jesus took the bread and said, this is my body which is for me, for you. Do this in memory of me. I'm going to invite our servers Or if you'd like to serve communion. So eat this bread as you receive it, and take this in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. And then in the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in memory of me." And we'll keep the cup and drink together. Father, as we've gathered round this table, Lord, to celebrate your love for us. Father, we pray for those in our own church, family, and in our own lives who are unwell, Lord, and in need of your healing grace. Father, we pray that you would be with each and every one of them. We give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so that we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Amen. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Today's reading is taken from Hebrews and chapter 1 and verse 6. Hebrews 1:6. And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." And in speaking of the angels, he says, "He makes his angels spirits and his servants flames of fire." But about the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." Thanks be to God.
Jesus anointed with oil. Did you know, friends, that no matter what background you have, your nationality, no matter how much money you have, no matter where you consider yourself on the social standing, no matter if you've got one grandchildren, no grandchildren, no matter about your personal circumstances, I'm going to do something profound this morning. I'm going to prove to you that you can divide the whole world into two groups. Moreover, this morning, I am about to divide this church into two groups. Okay? Can we have the... Brian, can we have the thing up? Are you ready? Here goes. And if afterwards you find yourself near someone in coffee... In a chair in tea and coffee that you don't know, you can ask them this question and you can have a discussion about it. Here's how you can divide the world into two groups. Please honestly answer. You ready? The whole world can be divided into two groups: those that love roller coasters and those that do not. So what are you this morning? Okay, let's see how we go. If you do not like roller coasters, or you don't, you know, you don't love them. Can you put your hand in the air for me? Quick straw poll. Okay. Okay, hands down. Those of us, because I'm one of them, that love roller coasters. Yeah, there's a few here, but thankfully the few have got the right attitude. But you can divide the whole world into those that love roller coasters and those that don't. Now, personally, I love them to such an extent that I once queued for an extra hour to get onto a roller coaster because right at the back of the roller coaster were seats that faced the wrong way. They faced backwards. And so you couldn't see what was coming. It was brilliant. Amazing. Flipped upside down when you don't even know it's coming. Awesome. Friends, the truth is, whether we like roller coasters or not, the one thing, whether you like them or not, we all share, is that we know life can be a bit of a roller coaster. Sometimes we feel on top, other times we feel like it's an uphill struggle, or that everything is falling away from us quickly. No Christian is immune from those ups and downs, are we, of life? But if you are a Christian, when you accept Jesus into your life, Jesus makes all the difference to the roller coaster of life. Because he makes a promise to you. If you don't know Jesus this morning, this is his promise to you, and it's a profound promise. Mark has already read the words, but we're going to read them again. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. It's a profound promise. And whether you're online this morning or you're here in church, if you believe, if you know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Saviour, it makes all the difference, no matter what your circumstance. No matter where you are on that roller coaster, that promise makes the difference. Because Jesus, just to remind you, spoke those words after he had washed the disciples' feet. He spoke those words facing an imminent death. And he's talking about joy. How can it be that his joy abounds when he faces death? That his joy will be in his disciples, in you and me, in us. More than that, that reading from Hebrews says he was anointed with joy. Awesome words. How can you be filled with joy when you know you're going to a cross? Well, I guess to understand it, we must first acknowledge what Christian joy is and it's not. So let me start by saying, if you're a Christian, the joy Jesus is talking about can only be found in his presence. And let me say, if you're a non-Christian, the joy Jesus is talking about can only be found in his presence. If you lack that joy this morning and you're not a Christian, there's your reason. It's in his presence. Now, if you stop to think about it, I wonder if there's anybody here that thinks they don't have a roller coaster of a life. Okay, we're all on the same page. And if you stop to think about it, there are many times in your life whether we're happy and whether we're not, as Mark said earlier. And it depends where we are on that roller coaster. On top of the world, we may feel happy. Climbing up to the summit, we may feel apprehension or worry. Plummeting down the other side, we may have fear. Being turned upside down or even going backwards, we may feel confused and doubt. But you get the point, don't you? And all of that's possible because we're human. But all of that relies upon our happiness and about how we feel. And it has nothing to do with the joy Jesus is talking about. Because happiness has to do with a condition, not to do rather, with the condition we find ourselves in. Happiness is dramatically affected by what is happening around us. And it can even be affected by the seasons, can't it? After all, many people struggle in winter feeling depressed. We even call it SAD, or seasonal affective disorder. But none of that is about the joy that Jesus brings. Because Jesus' joy is not about a condition. It's not about how we find ourselves, what's going on around us. But rather, Jesus says, there is only one place you can find joy, in my presence. It's not about the condition we find ourselves in, it's about the location we find ourselves in. We need to be located in him. And if this morning you need more joy, then can I respectfully say to you, the answer is really simple. Get closer to your Saviour. Pray more. Read scripture more. Invite the pastor around for a cup of tea and chat Jesus more. You get my point. Acts 25-28. This is what it says. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. It's been my awesome privilege these last 2 or 3 weeks to be celebrating life of folk that have gone to be with the Lord. At least in one case, without saying which one, at least in one case, the person was saying, I'm happy. But they didn't mean they were happy to die. They meant they're joyous. Because they're going to be with their Lord. The pains and struggles of life gone. Jesus' joy, we might say it. And it means, friends, to have full joy, we must become rooted in Jesus. Rooted in his word. Obedient to his commands. Now that reading from Hebrews we had, it says Jesus' joy was a result of love and hate. Because the writer of Hebrews reveals that Jesus was anointed with the oil of joy because he loved righteousness and hated wickedness. And this week, throughout the week, one question that's been ringing in my brain that I've asked myself is, and I invite you to do the same, is this. Am I loving righteousness and hating wickedness? There are there not, so many things in our society, in our 21st century culture, where we're told, where I am told, the culture's progressing. It's in good form. So many times I'm told that what I feel the Lord would have me do would make me a dinosaur. But in reality, there is so much going on in society that seems to me to contradict Scripture. And what Scripture requires. And bluntly, there are so many times when you and I simply decide not to stand up, because to do so would be to face society's ridicule. How often, friends, do you and I choose the path of anonymity instead of the path of loving righteous? The path of the quiet life rather than standing up against wickedness? And yes, I realise I'm speaking to myself as much as I'm speaking to you. Too often, we don't have a sense of being anointed with joy ourselves because we don't love what God loves, hate what God hates. We love what we love and we hate what we hate. And we think that will produce joy. But instead it produces distraction and pain and anger. Too often, we can become filled with the love for things God hates and we have no joy. Too often we're filled with hate for the thing God loves and we have no joy. So I want to pray for this church. And if you're a visitor this morning or you're looking online, pray for your church. That this church may be known, your church may be known as a church of joy. Because it declares righteousness and it stands up against wickedness. That's a bold claim to make, dear church, is it not? But the reality is, that's the reality of Scripture. And the good news this morning is that Jesus was filled with joy as he went to the cross, not only because he was going to do something that would declare to the whole world, this is God's righteousness, but also declare to the whole world how much he hated evil. And Jesus, just to let you know, won. He was victorious on the cross. I know this is jumping forward a bit to Easter, but you get my drift. He was victorious. The enemy, the old enemy, does not have power anymore, except when we give it to him. And boy, do we give him power, because we don't stand up for righteousness and hate wickedness. Jesus, just to let you know, went to the cross with joy. Now, he didn't go skipping like a three-year-old. Did you notice when the children went out earlier? It was my amazing privilege to be in a position where I see these things. There was a youngster, I don't know how old, skipping to go out of church this morning. They were probably just going, thank you, Lord, that you've released me from that sermon. But the reality is, they were skipping to go out of church. Skipping. Well, Jesus didn't go to the cross skipping, like he was happy. But he did go with joy, because he was demonstrating to the whole world who God was and is. And if he did that, he will bring you home. You see, the cross really points to the fact that in victory there is joy. And this joy is made complete in you. Did you know that? You are the joy of the Lord this morning. You are his victory dance. You are amazing. This morning it would be wonderful if you and I could simply grasp hold of the fact that he dances because of you. And I invite you in a while to simply worship him. No matter what your circumstances, no matter what you've come with, no matter how you feel, no matter if you feel on the top of that roller coaster, or at the very bottom, or going round, backwards, upside down. No matter how you feel, to acknowledge that you are his joy, and to dance and to worship like you've never done before. In fact, isn't that what we should be doing? We should have joy in Christ. The writer of Acts reminds us of a period in life when Paul and Barnabas are up against some trouble. And quote, in the middle of this reading from Acts, it says, they stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from the region. And at the end of this scripture, it says this, and the disciples were filled with joy with the Holy Spirit. In the midst of persecution, they were filled with joy. In the midst of facing an angry mob, possibly death, they were joyous. Brothers and sisters, our persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ around the world, those facing impossible situations throughout Ukraine this morning, are probably not filled with happiness, but they are filled with joy. Joy. And I pray that wherever they meet, however they meet today, the joy of the Lord will be theirs to have. We need to grasp how profound the Lord's joy can be. This church needs the joy of the Lord like never, ever before. And you and I need a reality check in order to do so. Because so often we reduce joy to this, whether we feel happy or not. You know, you could go home sometimes, couldn't you, and write in your diary, I went to church today and it was a good day because I've come home relatively happy. Or I went to church today and it was a good day because I've nothing to moan about. And if you don't think we don't do that, I'll leave you to fill in the gap. How dare we? How dare we reduce the joy of the Lord to how we feel? My prayer, Lord, make this place a house of joy. A house of joy. Where the church in the UK in the 21st century can know that God is overflowing this place with the spirit of joy. I want to be worshipping the Lord in spirit and truth and in joy. What about you? You know, it's amazing, just to finish with, it's amazing for me to be over there on a Sunday because you get to see what's happening over here with those who use banners and dance to express their worship. And what is even better is when some of our youngsters join in. Pardon me for saying it, but they join in and they're uninhibited. They want to just worship. They don't quite even know what they're doing, but that doesn't matter. They're going to worship. And if they poke you in the eye, they'll say sorry, but they'll move on and they'll still worship. No, they won't poke you in the eye, trust me. But you get my drift. They long to worship, and they're going to worship with joy. The challenge is, us adults forget that. I want to know how that plays out. I was talking to my son, 2-3 years ago now, about, you know, reminding him of the day we sat on that roller coaster and we went backwards. And he went, yeah, would we do it now, Dad? And you suddenly think, well, hold on, my bones are older than they were before. And all of a sudden we go, well, maybe not. There's nothing different now. We could still do it now. We're not fearful now. But age and wisdom sort of made us think we might look foolish. Praise God that as we worship him in a moment, in spirit and truth, we're not only prepared to worship him in joy, but I, for one, want to look foolish for my Lord. And I invite you to worship him in that same spirit of truth and joy with me. Simple, really. Perhaps in coffee we can have a discussion about why I'm quite such a fan of roller coasters. And why, and it's a true story, why when I and Chris came off a roller coaster and we nearly got hit by another roller coaster that was on the same track, we came off laughing, much to Lorraine's annoyance. Friends, let's worship our Lord in spirit and truth and joy with unabandoned worship, Lord, fill this place. And I invite you to pray with me that that's exactly what God will do. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the reminder in Scripture that there is unabandoned worship in you, that we are anointed with joy, just as the disciples were, that your joy is in us so that your joy may be complete. I thank you for the reality of that scriptural reminder. And I pray that my worship, our worship this morning, might be the worship of the abandoned, that just want to say, you are our Lord, and we'll praise you with all that we have and all that we are, forgetting all that we are and remembering all that you are. And that in doing so, you would be honoured and glorified. You would take the highest honour, Lord. And I want to get to that point in my own life, Lord, where it's as if the angels in heaven join with us in prayer and praise and go, amen, amen, and amen. So friends, this morning I invite you to be blessed with the spirit of joy. I pray, Lord, for all my friends here this morning, that you would anoint them, bless them, that they would overflow with the spirit of joy that says, I am the Lord's. Nothing can separate him from me, and I worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Paul. Brian, we're just going to change the last two. The last one first. The first shall be last.
I'm going to pray a blessing before we have our final song, but actually the blessing's much in line with what we've already said. I pray a blessing on you this week that you will worship the Lord in spirit and in truth beyond any expectation you may have of how you can worship him. Lord, I want to pray, you've just given me an image, and if this is you, I ask you just to join with me. I pray, Lord, that for some people here, we may be bold enough this week to take the training wheels off. We kind of think we're stabilised, we're riding this bike, of worship because of the stabilizers that are on it. But the Lord wants to remove the stabilizers and say, you can ride. I pray that the stabilizers of worship would come off this church. And Lord, that may even be the strangest prayer of the day. But that's my prayer. Breakthrough, Lord. And I pray a blessing on you all. That in this week and in the only the way that only the Lord can, he will break through in your life. And you will worship him like never before. Worship in joy. No matter what your circumstance, no matter what you're feeling or what you're doing, I pray you would worship the Lord in joy. And may our worship this week be to you, Lord, a blessing. And may you, Lord, be blessed mightily. Father God, accept our worship as our offering to you. And be glorified in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Behold our God seated on his throne.
Do you know, for someone out there is just a sense, maybe for more than one, do you know, we hold on to things preciously, and some of you are holding on to something this morning, whatever it is. And the Lord wants to say to you, no, let go. Let go and worship. And so I want to ask you all to do something for me, with me, that respects whomever that is for. And I want you, if you can, just to hold. Pretend you're holding something with me. And then I'm going to ask just that we sing Behold the Lamb again. A cappella, actually. I'm going to try and give it a go, right? And we'll see what happens. But in worship of God, and then we're going to let go. We're going to symbolically let go with our hands and worship him. And my prayer for you, whoever that is for this morning, is that as we let go, you'll worship the Lord like you've never worshipped before. And he will give you joy, because he wants you to let go of the bundle so that he can give you an anointing of joy. Amen. I hope that makes some sense, and I know we're over time. But if the youngsters want to come back in and do this with us, that's brilliant. If they want to come and worship with Debbie in the over here, that's also brilliant. We'll kind of give it a go. It doesn't matter. So here goes. Hold with me. Just for the one or two here maybe this morning that need to do this, we're going to do this as an act of love with you. And we're going to sing Behold the Lamb. And as we do, we're going to let go. And I invite you to do that with me and worship God.
Behold our God, seated on his throne, come let us adore him. Behold our King, nothing can compare, come let us adore.
Behold our God.
Behold a God seated on his throne, come let us adore him. Behold a King, nothing can compare, come let us adore.
And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Brian.
To leave a comment, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.